This is a Christian Science prayer treatment, which is extemporaneous and on the topic of mind. Day begins with natural attraction to disciplined perfection. That's a mouthful. But what does it really tell us? Mind is step number one. Every moment is a new day. And what should attract us? The desire for perfection. But how can we attain perfection? Only through discipline. Because in Mary Baker Eddy's words, we are barraged constantly with suggestions of ungodlike thought, speech, and action. How can this be? It is due to universal belief. Every time someone agrees to let an ungodlike thought, speech, or action enter into their consciousness, they are adding to the universal belief, which is not godlike. So it's hanging around in the atmosphere. And if we are passive, then we are letting evil triumph. Ed Burke stated 200 or 300 years ago that evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Doing something means to watch. In other words, protect our thought so that we prevent any cracks from being an invitation to let evil enter footstep by footstep. And the best way to do that is to do preventative prayer. And that's what we should do. The last thing before we go to sleep, and the first thing when we awaken. If we are a sincere student of Christian Science and the system of divine metaphysics, we will find that we require less repose. Mary Baker Eddy states that under a paragraph entitled Practical Science. Contains words and a sequence that, if understood even in a small degree, builds a protective shield against any attempt by the belief of evil to even start a series of footsteps which expand in every direction. And that is the first place to begin every day. Protect our consciousness by preventing thieves and murderers from even getting to the onset stage. Jesus asked Peter, James, and John when he went up on the mountain to do that, to watch. But when he returned and they were asleep, they did what was tantamount to laying out the royal carpet for evil to enter into the thought, not just of themselves, but of all humanity, because they were the symbol of protecting all humanity from evil beliefs while Jesus was away involved in a very important activity. He needed to focus on what he was doing, and he expected them to do what he was normally doing, and that was watching for the entire existing population. Here is the text of the scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Amen. Let's examine carefully and thoroughly every single keyword in this most powerful statement of being, because it is thoroughly scientific. Truth does not change. It always has been true. And that's what we're seeking. As the first quote in Science and Health by Jesus says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And Einstein reminds us, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And Mary Baker Eddy summarizes them by saying this, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest." She's recognizing the universal laws of God, because they control everything. And if we don't recognize those and study those and learn them and let them guide us, we will be blocked in every good thing we try to do. So let's begin. The first thing one needs to be aware of is the channels through which we learn and view. We have sight, hearing, feeling, smell, and taste. These are our identifying functions. We can either orient them to a limited path, which is matter, which is always in conflict with itself, or we can open the door to a new dimension, which is spirit, which is always harmonious and infinite in nature. Mary Baker Eddy defines these five in short as follows. Sight is spiritual discernment. Can we tell the difference between one thing and another? Hearing, spiritual understanding. Few people realize that hearing represents understanding. Feeling, divine consciousness. What are we going to let into our consciousness? Only the things of divinity, which are perfect, godlike, or are we going to leave it open to everything? Because we are presented constantly, continuously, without interruption, suggestions from the brain. But this says nothing about the brain. This says divine consciousness. Smell. Intuition of character. We all have intuition. Do we open our thought so that it can be used, utilized for not only our benefit, but whatever we're thinking reflects out into the universe? And the last one is taste, relish of truth. These are the five spiritual senses and what we must be focusing on if we want to learn the truth and let the truth guide us, as the first quote from Jesus indicates, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." These key points are enumerated in detail on a page entitled Scientific Statement of Being, which is in the menu. It is highly recommended for serious students to view this page as they listen to this video. Another thing we want to do, in addition to keep in mind the spiritual senses as our channel of identification, is a statement from page 330 from the textbook, "False Claims Annihilated." Who that has felt the perilous beliefs in life, substance, and intelligence separated from God can say that there is no error of belief? Knowing the claim of animal magnetism that all evil combines in the belief of life, substance, and intelligence in matter, electricity, animal nature, and organic life, who will deny that these are the errors which truth must and will annihilate? Christian scientists must live under the constant pressure of the apostolic command to come out from the material world and be separate. They must renounce aggression, oppression, and the pride of power. Christianity, with the crown of love upon her brow, must be their queen of life. This is introducing the idea that it's not just the word matter that does not include the belief of life, truth, and intelligence. In other words, the statement that there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. Matter is not the only term. We must include other terms. And this introduces the idea of electricity, animal nature, and organic life. We've come up with much more thorough items to consider. And they are on the page to which was just referred to the listeners in this audio recording. The introductory sentence is as follows. There is no life, truth, nor intelligence in anything wherein the matter-based senses are used. All product from utilizing material senses are unreality. Some examples follow. Now, this list includes some that are strictly spiritual, because Mary Baker Eddy, in the chapter 17, which is the glossary, states the spiritual definition, and then followed by a material definition on a few of them. So they're all provided in one combined list here. But as we read them individually, we will see exactly what was just said. First is the five material senses, and they've already been summarized. Now, in alphabetic order, animal nature, death, decline, devil, electricity, God's growth. I am, I or ego, life, man, material birth, matter, mineral, mortal mind, organic life, rock, veil, vegetable, will, year, you, that's Y-O-U. This follows with the full definitions from the glossary for selected terms. The first one is almighty, all power, infinity, omnipotence, angels. Angels are God's thoughts passing to man, spiritual intuitions that are pure and perfect. They are the inspiration of goodness, purity, and immortality, counteracting all evil, sensuality, and mortality. Please recall the five spiritual senses which were noted earlier. It said that smell was intuition of character. And now we find what intuition is all about, because it says the intuition is God's thoughts passing to man, spiritual intuitions that are pure and perfect. They are the inspiration of goodness, purity, and immortality, counteracting all evil, sensuality, and mortality. Among the very top Christian Science practitioners, there are three that had 15-minute appointments, and by the time the appointment was over, the patient was healed. And one of those is Wentworth Winslow. He had a case whereby he received a telegram, and this was about 100 years ago, so it was before telephone was available for international calls. And it appears that they were charging by the word or by the character for these telegrams at that time, because this fellow was extremely brief. The telegram said the three following words: 6 treatments, please. And he probably used the digit 6. Mr. Winslow had no idea what the problem was, how long it had been pursuing, whether it was the individual that was sending the telegram or someone else. And so he could not even follow the recommendations by Mary Baker Eddy on how to proceed. The thought occurred to him that if he could focus on purity for himself, in other words, his own consciousness, then that would reflect out into the universe of thought. And it would be constructive and effective for anyone that was tuning in to that particular topic. So he continued examining every thought, speech, and action as he was conducting himself throughout the day. And he continued doing that until he got another telegram, which said, 6 more treatments, please. Again, no information. He didn't even know how to contact the individual. Mary Baker Eddy instructs us that we need to find the root of the problem. Not the symptom, but the problem itself. And often, the problem is not expressed in the form of a symptom. For evil's traits include trying to deceive, utilize decoys. But Genesis 1, verse 26 and 7, and the following verses indicate that God made man in his image and likeness, and that he gave dominion over everything to man. So we have the capacity to do it, to do anything, as long as it's a good quality, or rather, all qualities that are being utilized are good qualities, godlike qualities. Notice how comprehensive this statement is. It says, counteracting all evil. Their inspiration of goodness, purity, and immortality, counteracting all evil, sensuality, and mortality. What happens if we listen to these angel thoughts, which come to us as spiritual intuition? The very definition that follows. Baptism is purification by spirit, submergence in spirit. We are, quote, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And that's a quote from 2 Corinthians verse 8. The next one is believing. Believing is firmness and constancy, not a faltering nor a blind faith, but the perception of spiritual truth. Mortal thoughts are the illusion. Here's an example where she is giving the spiritual definition and then she follows it with the material. The last four words, mortal thoughts are illusion. Are you beginning to get an appreciation for how valuable this chapter 17 is, entitled The Glossary, in understanding the entire textbook and the Bible? It's immeasurable. Immeasurable. The next definition for consideration is children. The spiritual thoughts and representatives of life, truth, and love. Sensual and mortal beliefs. So she is now giving us the opposite. Sensual and mortal beliefs. Counterfeits of creation, whose better originals are God's thoughts. Not in embryo, but in maturity. Material suppositions of life, substance, and intelligence, opposed to the science of being. So everything based on matter is opposed to the science of being, opposed to God, opposed to true logical sequence of reasoning in the frame of spirit. The definition of church has been included because that is really principle in action. Church, the structure of truth and love, whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. The church is that institution which affords proof of its utility and is found elevating the race, rousing the dormant understanding from material beliefs to the apprehension of spiritual ideas and the demonstration of divine science, thereby casting out devils or error and healing the sick. It says nothing about bureaucracy. Did Jesus have a church? No. Paul was the first one that had a church. Now, the real purpose of a physical church is an introduction to the real science. It's like a bridge so that someone can get started. They see that others are involved. They hear their testimonies of healing. They hear the readings from the desk, which are on a particular topic on both Sunday and a different one on Wednesday. The Wednesday meeting being one that is composed by the first reader of the church. And his duty is to select a current topic that would meet the needs of the local area. Now, the next topic is very interesting because it is plank number 4 of the 32 planks that comprise the platform of the system of divine metaphysics. The topic is life. And the fourth platform is on life, the creator, following the first three. The first one is the supremacy of God. The second one is the God definitions. The third one is evil obsolete. So that clears the deck so that we are ready to see what real life is about. And it was entitled, number 4 is entitled, Life the Creator. And so we have the definition of creator here to keep in line with that plank. So here's the definition of creator from the glossary. Spirit, mind, intelligence, the animating divine principle of all that is real and good, self-existent life, truth and love, that which is perfect and eternal, the opposite of matter and evil, which have no principle, God, who made all that was made and could not create an atom or an element, the opposite of himself. In chapter 15, Mary Baker Eddy goes a step further, and that chapter is entitled Genesis, which means the beginning. She interprets the first three words to state, instead of in the beginning, to give us a spiritual translation of in the only. Because the Bible itself says there's nothing new under the sun, which means there has never been a creation. It has always been in existence. Whether it was recognized determines on whether it was being experienced. As Shakespeare reminds us, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What was the level of thinking at the time of the lost city of Atlantis? And also the pyramids in Gaza have never been explained. It required technology to do that, that had to be very advanced. What should we think of as soon as we awake from a rest? It can be a nap, or it can be any kind of a rest where we're intended to go to sleep and regenerate. Day, that's the term. Day is the irradiance of life. Light, the spiritual idea of truth and love. Quote, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That's from Genesis 1, verse 5. The objects of time and sense disappear in the illumination of spiritual understanding, and mind measures time according to the good that is unfolded. This unfolding is God's day. And, quote, there shall be no night there. It's been stated time and again that the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. And here she says that day is the unfolding of God's day, and there shall be no night there. And she also says the objects of time and sense disappear in the illumination of spiritual understanding. Time is defined as being only in the now. In other words, there is no real sense of time. What word can be referred to if day is not adhered to as stated in the definition? It says, and there shall be no night there. Well, if we don't adhere to what it says day represents, then there will be night. And that definition is called D-E-A-T-H, death. Death is an illusion, the lie of life in matter, the unreal and untrue, the opposite of life. Matter has no life, hence it has no real existence. Mind is immortal. The flesh warring against spirit, that which frets itself free from one belief only to be fettered by another, until every belief of life, where life, and that's with a capital L, the first one is with a small l, says every belief of life where life is not, yields to eternal life. Any material evidence of death is false, for it contradicts the spiritual facts of being. See how valuable this glossary is? It opens wide the eyes to what otherwise one would be blind and not able to see at all. The next one is very interesting. It is devil. And notice how devil is spelled. It is evil with a D on it. Think of D as giving it displacement, letting it display itself. In other words, evil has no power by itself, and only if we give it a residence, it could be anything. Our vision, our arms, legs, our mouth, our ears. Here's the definition from the glossary. Devil is evil, a lie, error, neither corporeality nor mind, the opposite of truth, a belief in sin, sickness, and death, animal magnetism or hypnotism, the lust of the flesh, which saith, quote, I am life and intelligence in matter. There is more than one mind, for I am mind, a wicked mind, and made or created by a tribal god, and put into the opposite of mind, termed matter. Thence, to reproduce a mortal universe, including man, not after the image and likeness of spirit, but after its own image. Looking at this definition carefully, it tells us that there is no real source for evil, or even if we give it a residence and call it devil. There's no real source of it. If and when a suggestion of evil appears to our thought, we could refer to this definition, and we could tear it apart and make statements that are individualized for the situation, such as, there is no source for evil. There is no source for anything that is ungodlike. Therefore, there is no source for this belief, and then state whatever the belief is. It could be an accident, a broken arm, it could be anything. Anything that is discordant is unlike God. Anything and everything, which means it has no source and therefore has no power to have any influence over you. We must take a stand. And when we do, that will change everything. It also says this is a belief that there's more than one mind. We can state that mind, with a capital M, is God. And there's only one God, therefore there's only one mind. And mind has manifested the entire existence as his manifestation, and that excludes anything unlike God. Therefore, there is no reality to, and then state whatever it is, because of these facts. And if we understand even a morsel of this kind of line of thinking, or if we're willing to open our thought to it, even though we may not understand it, we are training our consciousness to accept it, and the repetition of this kind of thinking, this line of thought, this line of input into consciousness will fill it with truth, and there won't be any space for error. For whenever we dig up the roots of error and get it out of consciousness by amplifying the fact that it has no place in existence because it has no source, and therefore it cannot be manifested, nor can it have a manifestation of itself. In other words, it cannot be a part of any little tiny space in my consciousness, in my experience of life, in my thought, or speech or action, in any way, no matter what kind of face it tries to present itself to be. They're all the same. It's one generic belief of life, truth, and intelligence being in evil, or a devil, or anything that is unlike God. The next definition that is on the page from which we are working is ears. And we already talked about hearing is spiritual understanding. And let's see what this says. Ears are not organs of the so-called corporeal senses, but spiritual understanding. Jesus said, referring to spiritual perception, having ears, hear ye not? That's a quote from Mark chapter 8, verse 18. I'm aware of a family that lived at a very important intersection of a state highway and a side road that had a lot of traffic on it. And because of the number of hills and turns in the road, the side road that is, when it came to the major highway, it would be kind of a surprise, and they often would not notice the stop sign and would go right on across the highway. And the family that lived at the intersection would hear the crash of two cars. It was a terrible sound. And they would know, obviously, immediately, what the suggestion was. They were a Christian Science family, and they got into the habit of immediately turning their thought to the truth about principle, that it was omnipresent, it was harmonious, it was balance, it was structure, and had a system designed by mind. And there couldn't be any conflict, any discord, any interruption of that inherent harmony, which was self-operating and not dependent upon anything else to be providing the harmony and balance that it represents. Can you imagine the difference on the effect of a so-called accident when it was addressed in that manner instantaneously, when the sound passed into the ears of an alert individual that was cultivating their understanding, nurturing their thought with thoughts of truth, instead of accepting the evil, the devil that was trying to make an impact and to amplify the problem instead of dissolve it. It's all the difference in the world. If one addresses a problem at the onset of the problem, it prevents it from getting embedded in consciousness. It cannot plant the seed that will grow into something totally unmanageable, because it takes over everything that is passive. We want to make sure that our consciousness is full of life, of activity, of the qualities of God. If it is filled with the qualities of God, there cannot be anything unlike it that is a part of the thought, speech, or action. Everything stems from what is within thought. The very thing that we see or feel, hear, smell, or taste is influenced either by spirit or by its opposite. Which do we want to be dealing with in our life? The next thing recited will be the combination of Adam and Eve. The definition of Adam will be recited first. Adam, error, a falsity, the belief in, quote, original sin, end of quote, sickness and death. Evil, the opposite of good, of God and His creation. A curse, a belief in intelligent matter, finiteness, and mortality. Quote, dust to dust, end of quote. Red sandstone, nothingness, the first god of mythology, not God's man, who represents the one God and is his own image and likeness, the opposite of spirit, and his creations, that which is not the image and likeness of good, but a material belief opposed to the one mind or spirit, so-called finite mind producing other minds, thus making God's many and Lord's many, a product of nothing as the mimicry of something, an unreality as opposed to the great reality of spiritual existence and creation, a so-called man whose origin, substance, and mind are found to be the antipode of God, or spirit, an inverted image of spirit, the image and likeness of what God has not created, namely, matter, sin, sickness, and death, the opposite of truth, termed error, life's counterfeit, which automates in death, the opposite of love, called hate, the usurper of spirit, creation, called self-creative matter, immortality's opposite, mortality, that of which wisdom saith, quote, thou shalt surely die, end of quote. The name Adam represents the false supposition that life is not eternal, but has beginning and end, that the infinite enters the finite, and the intelligence passes into non-intelligence, and that soul dwells in material sense, that immortal mind results in matter, and matter in mortal mind, that the one God and Creator entered what He created and then disappeared in the atheism of matter. As can be seen, there is nothing good whatsoever that Adam symbolizes. And here's the definition of Eve. Eve is a beginning, mortality, that which does not last forever, a finite belief concerning life, substance, and intelligence in matter. Error, the belief that the human race originated materially instead of spiritually. So it's a short definition of Eve. It looks like she gave it all to us in Adam. So for the theory of most churches that Adam and Eve were the beginning of the human race is not something that we would want to subscribe to if we are expecting to cultivate a life of spirit versus matter. The next definition in alphabetical order is eyes, E-Y-E-S. Eyes are spiritual discernment, not material, but mental. Jesus said, thinking of the outward vision, quote, having eyes, see ye not? That's from Mark 8. verse 18. It is obvious that this recording would probably be between 2 and 3 hours long, so I'm going to terminate it here as being part one, and we will continue immediately with part two, beginning with the definition of Father. It is Sunday, June 7, 2026, at 08:03 in the morning. Thank you for listening. The end.